Hey guys, thanks for joining us again on another episode of the Sensory Project Show. We are so happy you're here. And if you wouldn't mind pausing this episode and leaving us a review on iTunes, that would be so helpful.
You guys, we're still pretty new to the podcasting world, so your reviews help us to get out there in the world, get more exposure, help more people. So thank you so much for doing that for us.
All right, so today we're going to be talking about all things visual. This is another great episode you might want to take some notes on, so grab your pen and paper, and we'll get started.
All right, let's do it.
Welcome to the Sensory Project Show with Rachel and Jessica. We're here to share all things sensory, occupational therapy, parenting, self-care, and overall health and wellness from a therapist's perspective, providing raw, honest, fun ideas and strategies for parents and families to implement into daily life. Thank you so much for joining us.
All right, you guys. So first, we just need to make sure that you guys don't think we're talking about vision when it comes to like 20/20 vision. Mm-hmm. And that's really called visual acuity. And that's not what we're talking about.
Yes.
We aren't
optometrists.
Yeah, we're not that. we don't work on like how well you can see things from far away or up close. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I think that's the right way to explain it.
Yeah. We're talking more about first we're going to talk about your ocular motor skills, and those are your eye muscles.
Mm-hmm. Believe it or not, you have muscles that work your eyeballs.
Yep, we sure do. And then the other one is the visual perception. And so sometimes we get some confusion with people thinking that that means visual acuity, but it's not. Visual perception is really how your brain interprets what you're seeing. Did I say that word? Interprets,
yeah.
What you're seeing.
It's just like with any other sensory system. Your brain is interpreting auditory input, and then it has to do something to process that correctly. Well, your brain has to process visual information the right way and then know what to do with it.
Yes.
So those are the skills that we work on in occupational therapy.
Yes.
And that's what we're going to talk about today.
Yes. And then just quick side note, that there's a lot of kiddos out there who can also benefit from vision therapy.
Yes.
And again, this is different than just your regular eye doctor that you go to for glasses or a prescription. This is a whole new field, really, mm-hmm. of
working on the eye muscles.
Yes.
And making your eyes work together and getting them stronger.
Yes.
Because if they're not working together, there's going to be a ton of things going wrong, basically.
Yes, definitely. Mm-hmm. So definitely something to kind of keep on the radar and maybe look into if you feel like your child needs it.
Yep. So. And if you have any specific questions, again, don't hesitate to reach out to us after you listen to this whole episode.
Yes, definitely. So let's jump right in. So first we're going to talk about ocular motor skills. And again, these are basically your eye muscles, your eye movements.
Mm-hmm. So the first one is called visual tracking. So this is the ability to accurately track and follow with our eyes. So when you're not able to track the right way, you are going to lose your place while you're reading. You're going to skip over words or lines. You're going to have poor reading fluency. And you're going to make a lot of careless errors during hand-eye coordination, or sports are going to be challenging, things like that.
Yeah, so if you think about it, if you're playing catch, your eyes have to visually track that ball from where it's thrown all the way to your hands to catch it. Mm-hmm. If you're reading a book or a line of words, your eyes have to visually and smoothly go across that line from left to right to see everything that you need to see without losing your place. The next one is saccades. These are basically your eye focusing skills. And when we look far away, the eye muscles relax. And when we look close up, they constrict. And so the accurate and efficient use of these muscles allows us to focus on near print for a sustained period of time and then easily switch our focus from near to far and back again. So that was a lot of words, but basically you can look from one thing to another quickly and efficiently without getting lost or tired.
Yeah, so think about as an adult when we're driving.
Ooh.
So you use a lot of those saccadic movements. Like, think about driving between the lines, or you're driving next to a big semi on the freeway and you're looking back and forth to make sure that you have enough space to fit through with your car on the other side.
Definitely.
So these are skills that we want to teach and help facilitate in our young kiddos.
Yeah, because they're going to be using these saccadic eye movements to copy things from the board at school, because they have to look up at the board, look down at their paper, look up at the board, look down at their paper.
They have to use saccadic movements in order to maneuver their environment safely. So just walking down the hallway, they have to be able to move their eyes back and forth, near and far, to make sure that they're not going to bump into people.
And to make sure they're going to the right place.
Mm-hmm.
And make sure they're not tripping on something on the floor. And so many things. So that's a good one. It's a big one. The last one for ocular motor skills is convergence and divergence.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, if you listen to our bilateral integration episode, this is a good example because our eyes have to work together as an efficient, coordinated team to create a clear and single picture when looking near and far. So
this is basically, can you cross your eyes?
Can you go cross-eyed?
Can you go cross-eyed with your eyes?
Yep.
Yes, your eyes are converging, and then when they're going away, they are diverging.
Yes.
So, just a fancy way of saying that.
Yes, basically.
But your eyes have to converge in order to catch a ball, in order to write, in order to follow items close to you, watch them moving away from you. It entails a lot.
Yeah, we're doing it all the time.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah, and oftentimes when you have deficiencies in these areas, you or your kiddos, you might have eye strain, headaches, blurred or double vision. And for your kiddos, especially those nonverbal kiddos, they're not going to be able to tell you, hey, I'm seeing double, or hey, I have a headache.
Yeah.
Hey, my eyes hurt. They're going to show this in behaviors, frustration, shutting down.
Definitely.
That's just their way of telling us that something's going on. So this is just another tool to have in the back of your pocket or whatnot.
And another one.
Think about.
Yeah. And another big one, too, that we see a lot is kiddos covering or closing one of their eyes.
Yes.
Because their eye muscles are tired and they can't, their eyes aren't working together.
Yeah.
And so they're going to compensate by closing one eye.
Okay, so let's move on to the visual perceptual side of the visual system.
And there's kind of this whole list of visual perception skills that we want to talk about. And then we'll give you guys all the different activities and game ideas to work on all of the visual skills.
Perfect.
Okay.
So the first one is called visual discrimination, and the definition of this one is the ability to determine differences or similarities in the objects or forms based on size, color, shapes, different things like that. So
this is going to be where your kiddo is reading and writing, and they can see the letters and the words as different.
Mm-hmm.
And they know that a P is different than a Q, and they can differentiate between those two to know what they are.
The next one is form constancy. So this is the ability to know that a form or shape is the same, even if it's been rotated or turned, if it's smaller or bigger, or if it's close to you, or if it's far away on the whiteboard. Just knowing that a D is a D is a D, whether it's sideways or backwards. Well, that one gets kind of confusing.
Perfect example, though, of why our kids get confused.
Yes. So that is that form constancy, that the form is consistent.
Yes.
So it's in a variety of different ways. So think of it that way.
And I love that one. Form constancy is a big one because when we look around in our environment, you know, we have the same things in a lot of places, but they're turned sideways or they're...
Light switches. Light switches look different in lots of different places.
What a great example. That was the perfect example.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
And is your kiddo going to be able to recognize where the light switch is in the bathroom at Starbucks versus the classroom versus their room?
Oh, my gosh. Genius.
I don't know about
that. Such a good example. I can't even handle it. Okay, the next one is visual memory. And I feel like this one's pretty self-explanatory, but it's the ability to recall and remember something based on seeing it, right? Mm-hmm. So remembering what it looks like.
So we see this a lot when a kiddo has to read and they have to recognize a word from one page to the next, recognizing that the is the same on page 2 as it is on page 7.
Yeah, so this is really good when kids are learning to read too and remembering sight words.
Mm-hmm.
Visual memory.
Yeah.
When they're writing and copying from the board, can they remember more than one letter at a time?
Yes. This is a really huge skill to be able to practice and train. Because if your kiddo is copying one letter from the board at a time, that's not efficient
at all. No, it's not. And they're probably going to be frustrated and not enjoy doing it. And it's just going
to
be hard.
Yeah, so that's a good one to practice.
Yes. Next is visual sequential memory. And so this is a little bit different than visual memory. But this is the ability to recall a sequence of objects or forms in the correct order.
Mm-hmm. Wait. Can you guys think of how this can be applied in the real world? Oh, okay, don't worry, I'll help you. Think about spelling.
Well, of course.
Think about phone numbers, addresses.
Okay, you guys, just on the real, if you are from our generation, late 20s, well, mid 20s, 30s and up, do you remember being a kid and you had to remember everyone's phone numbers? Like, you probably had 20 phone numbers memorized in your head.
Oh, yeah.
And now today, how many do you have memorized? I bet it's not as many because it's just in your phone. You don't have to. So this is a tricky one because with technology, we don't have to remember some of the same things as much, you know?
But here's my go-to example. This is kind of a scary example, but it's real. Let's say your kid gets lost or something even worse, like someone takes them or, you know, something scary like that. But the kiddo has to be able to say or dial your phone number if they need to.
If there's an emergency, yes.
Yeah, they need to be able to dial your number or they need to tell 911 or tell the police, my address is this, my phone number is this.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's true. So it is still an important skill to learn.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. It is. It's just so funny to think back. Like, I probably had so many phone numbers memorized as a kid.
I still have a lot of childhood phone numbers memorized.
Yeah.
All my friends that I would call and ask to hang out.
Yeah. And you just remembered them because you did.
Mm-hmm.
So, oh my gosh. Moving on. The next one. Visual closure. So this is the ability to recognize a form or an object even when the whole picture of it isn't available. And this is a fun one. I like playing games with this one.
Yes.
For this one. But so basically you can see part of something and you know what it is because you have that visual closure ability to know what it is even if you don't see all of it.
That's a good one.
So it's a good one for like reading, right?
Yep.
You can kind of quickly skim over whatever it is you're reading and you know what the words are because you can see part of them.
Yeah. It's like if there's, you know, and we'll talk about more activities, but an example is if some of the letters accidentally get erased in a kiddo's homework, is he going to be able to figure out what word he was trying to create? You know, things
That's
like
tricky.
That. Mm-hmm. Okay, the next one, visual spatial relations. So this is being able to understand the relationships of objects within the environment.
This is going to go into a lot of body awareness too. Mm-hmm.
Yep. So here's an example. Think of the instruction, go put your shoes under your desk, then come stand in front of the water fountain.
Oh my gosh, there's so many things.
So you have to be able to understand how to maneuver your body within the environment following all of those spatial commands.
Okay, next is visual figure ground. And this is being able to locate something within a busy or cluttered environment or background.
This is one of my favorites because think about your junk drawers at home, y'all.
Everybody has one. No, you do.
And maybe you tell your kiddo, hey, can you go find a pencil in the junk drawer? Or can you go find a paperclip in the junk drawer? And they open that drawer and they shut down. They're like, nope, I can't find it. Their visual system is overworked. There's too much going on. They can't process through all of the distractions in order to find that one thing that they're looking for.
Yep. And so then this is going to relate to school, of course, because can your child look at a worksheet and know what they need to read on the worksheet, where they need to go next on the worksheets? They've got a lot of words or pictures on there. Do they know what to do with it? Do they know how to find what they need?
Mm-hmm. That concludes our definitions of the visual perceptual skills.
And ocular motor skills.
Let's move on to the fun stuff.
Okay, so some activities that you guys can do to work specifically on those ocular motor skills. So remember, these are visual tracking, saccades, being able to move your eyes back and forth between objects, and then convergence and divergence.
All right, so the first one, the big one. Ball skills.
Yep.
So working on playing catch, working on kicking, working on bouncing and catching, throw a ball off the wall and catch it on the return.
Yes, that's a fun
basketball,
one.
Baseball, football,
volleyball.
All of the ball activities.
Zoom ball.
Oh, we forgot Zoom ball. That's a ball activity.
That one is so fun.
That's
you
a good
need
one.
To get Zoom ball for sure.
Logic and reasoning games where your kiddo has to copy the picture and then solve it.
And these are so fun, and kids love these games because, yes, it's a cognitive-based task that they're going to be doing, but, again, it's a game, and it's mm-hmm. so fun. So Rush Hour is one of my favorites.
Yep. Pete's Pike is another fun one.
Laser maze.
Laser maze.
That's a kid favorite.
Yes,
because
the kids love that one.
It has a laser mm-hmm. and mirrors.
Yep.
But basically any of these games where you have a card that has a picture on it and the kid has to set up their game board mm-hmm. according to the picture.
Yep.
They are going to be working on their ocular motor abilities to look back and forth.
And if you want to make it a little bit more challenging for them, let's say you're working with an older kiddo, you can even tape the card to the wall in front of them so they have to look all the way up at the wall and then back down to their game and then back up at the wall.
Did you see our Therapy Thursday video a while back of my son Logan standing in the hallway and matching pictures? I mean, he was tapping with his foot, but he was tapping and matching those pictures on the wall, those Christmas yeah. pictures. That one is going to be a good one as well. And I know that wasn't related to our logic and reasoning games, but I just thought of that,
yeah,
of a good ocular motor one.
Okay, another one is the game Simon. So that has the four different colors, and you'd probably think that it's an auditory game, which it is, but when those colored sections are lighting up and you have to follow them with your eyes.
Yep.
You're working on those saccadic movements.
Yep, definitely. So this is kind of a fun one. If you have a ball and
like a playground ball.
Like a playground ball or even a beach ball mm-hmm. and you get a Sharpie and you write some letters.
Or better yet, you have your kid write some letters.
Oh, on the ball. And then you can do, oh my gosh, there's so many different activities that you can do with this one, you guys.
When they catch the ball, they have to pick two different letters and say what they are. Maybe you're going to tell them the color of the section if you're using a beach ball. So you say white, and they have to find a letter and say what it is in the white section, et cetera, et cetera.
Yep. Letter number puzzles.
Those are great. Melissa and Doug has a lot of great options.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, this is a fun one. And if you've never played it before, you definitely need to check it out. Elefun.
Elefun.
E-L-E-F-U-N. Elefun. The little butterflies fly up in the air and you have to catch them.
Yeah, that is a fun one. We talked about this one in our gift guide. It's called Spot It. And we use this a lot in tons of different ways to work on those ocular motor skills. So that's an easy one.
And of course, mazes, dot to dots, color by numbers, all of these are going to work on visual tracking, saccades, all the ocular motor skills.
Yes.
Now, I will mention, too, that all these things we just listed for ocular motor skills, they're also going to work on all the different visual perception skills as well.
Mm-hmm.
So let's jump to those, the specific ones for visual perception skills.
Okay. So those I Spy books, the Search and Find, Where's Waldo? So those are also great for the form constancy, too.
Ooh, yes, definitely. Puzzles with numbers and letters, and really any puzzle, but the letter and number puzzles are really good because when the pieces are off the puzzle, they're going to be turned sideways or upside down, and the kid has to find specific ones to put the puzzle together in the correct order, and they're going to really work on that form constancy.
Yep. The next one we talked about in our episode talking about somatosensory processing, and this is hiding objects within sensory bins. So this they can do with their eyes open, so they can look and try to find those toys or those prizes within those different tactile mediums within the competing background. So they'll have to really use their eyeballs to find those.
Their eyeballs. And then this kind of goes into an I Spy rice bottle, right? Mm-hmm. So where you fill up your water bottle, clear water bottle, with rice and then other different little objects. And then they have to, you know, turn the water bottle around and see all the different things, find certain things.
And that's a good item that you can just throw in the diaper bag or you can throw in a backpack. And or you could throw it in their backpack so they can use it on the school bus on the way home from school. So,
as long as they don't open it.
Yeah, maybe glue it shut.
I could just see that going so wrong. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, this is a fun one. The memory card game where you have all your different matches and they're all face down and you take turns flipping over two cards trying to find a match. Really going to work on that visual memory piece, visual discrimination.
What else? I just like that they have so many different themes now.
Oh, they do. They have all the themes.
Disney, they have Christmas, they have ducks.
Everything. I mean, there's everything with that game. So something for everyone with that game for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, then we've got Scrabble, Bananagrams.
Those ones are great. Pop-up pirate. We've talked about this one before.
It's a fun one.
You have to be able to see where to place those swords and match those colors. Anything color matching. Really.
Yeah. So anything color matching, anything finding those colored objects within a group of colored objects.
Mm-hmm. Crosswords and word finds.
And those ones are so good for those, you know, elementary, junior high school kids to do. In the car, in their downtime if they really want to. Mm-hmm. I know
waiting rooms.
Here's the trick, you guys, is a lot of kids, if they're struggling with visual perception skills, they might not enjoy those crossword puzzles and those word finds.
So it's up to you to make it fun and make it a game and make it enjoyable.
Yeah, definitely. Plus, and we've talked a little bit about this before too, modeling.
Mm-hmm.
If it's something that you enjoy doing, then they'll see you doing it. And chances are they might want to follow you and do it too. Or maybe they want to do it with you.
There you go. Say, who can find this word first in the crossword puzzle?
Oh, turn it into a competition.
Or, no, what's it called? Not a crossword puzzle.
Oh, the word find.
Word search, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that's the one.
Yeah, turn it into a contest, sure.
Blink. This is one of my favorite games. It's a close second to Ratuki.
Ratuki
is a good one. We didn't put that one on the list.
Blink is a super fun one.
There's a game called Cubits.
Oh, and I really like this game.
Good one. We'll link to these below as well.
Mental Blocks with an X, B-L-O-X, is a really good one.
Do you guys remember those Light Brights?
Oh my gosh, those are so fun.
I think I still have my Light Bright from when I was a kid.
Seriously?
I think so.
You need to get that out.
I know. Tangrams.
Okay, so these are the like colored block shapes that you use to make pictures with. Like you put them all together.
Whenever I get these out, my kids just love to immediately build pictures and shapes with them.
Because it's so fun.
Yeah, and just letting them be creative with those.
Yes. And then this is a really cool one that we've actually seen used in speech therapy. Mm-hmm. But it's a positional words game. And so you're given like a clue or an instruction to put the cow under the couch. I don't know. And then
that was a great example.
Thank you. And then the kiddo is going to have to get the cow and the couch pieces and put them in the correct positions.
Yeah, I love that one.
Super fun. And you can turn that one into an obstacle course. You can have the kid give you instructions to do it. So then it's reversed and they have to come up with those instructions and those positions. And then that visual perception component is incorporated.
Yeah. Okay, you guys, that was a lot of information.
It was, but you know, as I'm going through this, I'm like, oh my gosh, every single game that we play as kids is going to work on visual perception.
Exactly.
And ocular motor skills.
And you don't have to spend a lot of money on these games either.
Oh, no.
You can make your own games. You can be creative. Look on Pinterest.
Ooh, Pinterest is a really good one.
There are a lot of ways that you can come up with improving visual skills with your kiddos and just at home, just for fun and without even thinking that you're working on it.
Seriously, absolutely. And I don't think we really touched on this about like some of the things you might see if your child is struggling. Did we talk about that?
We did with the ocular motor section.
Okay. So yeah, I mean, maybe just briefly go over that really fast. So like if your child is having a hard time reading or writing, or finding things in their bedroom when they're asked to find them.
Or clean up their bedroom when you ask them to.
Being able to read a recipe and follow the recipe. Or they're struggling playing catch. Those are all signs that there might be a visual processing or perception deficit.
And it's going to be fine.
Of course it will.
Just be aware. Awareness is the first step. Just be aware and then talk with their OT. If you're in OT, chat with their doctor. You can do some research on vision therapy. Just be aware and just start keeping track of what you're noticing. And then just help them build those skills by completing
playing
some
games.
Of these games.
Yep.
Yeah.
Playing games all the time.
Sounds terrible, you guys. You have to play games. Bummer. I was a game fanatic. I still am, obviously.
Oh, I know.
This is the right career for me.
Oh, I know. For sure. All right, you guys. That's it. That's all we have. We are done. Thank you guys for listening. So glad that you are joining us.
We really are. We hope that you're having as much fun as we are.
Seriously, it's fun to do this.
It is. It is.
We enjoy it a lot, which is why hopefully most of the time we sound happy.
Even on the hard topics to talk about.
Yes.
I feel like we try to make them upbeat and positive and just know that you're doing a good job and
you got this.
Your kiddos are going to be successful.
Yeah. No matter what.
Yep. All right, you guys, we will see you next week.
Bye.
Excited to work together and to help create confident kids all over the world and work towards a happier, healthier life. This is general information.
information related to occupational therapy, pediatrics, sensory integration, and overall health and wellness. We do not know you or your child, therefore, we do not know any specific needs, therefore, you should always refer back to your pediatrician and occupational therapist.